to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Eidelman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Eidelman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Eidelman Unplugged. My name is Luke Duncan and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Eidelman. Pastor, welcome.
Welcome. It's good to be here and I'm glad we're talking about this topic because it's called Eidelman Unplugged and we can be a little brutally honest here on this topic.
Well, the brutal truth is that probably if you go to any given church on Sunday, that there's a large amount of people in that fellowship that are dealing with some type of pornography problem. And so it's a reality in our culture. And unfortunately, it's reality in the church, but it's here and we have to deal with it. So Shane, what's the biblical response to pornography?
Well, that's a good introduction because the statistics are, they change weekly, but somewhere of up to 60%, especially men, I think 30% now women, 60% of men sitting in the church are looking regularly at pornography. So a couple things come to mind. I talk to these men, and you're a man, I'm a man. We know that we're visual, and that's the trigger right there, especially if you're single, and there's so many different dynamics come into place. But you have to realize, at least what I did, is it's very destructive. Even as a single person, I knew when I was going to meet eventually Morgan that you don't get married and then this disappears. usually pornography increases once you get married. But going into marriage many years ago, I knew that, this can't be who I am. I've got to, get just like all Christian guys want to do is remove it from their life. And we all look at things in the past that we shouldn't have, and things pop up on our phone or picture, we are saturated by it. So I really feel for this generation. But you have to, the Steve Schell, I've used this example before, I don't want to take credit for it, but he said, you have to see the death in it. For example, if you've been fasting, you see a chocolate cake, you go to grab it and you see a note. Oh, by the way, it has rat poison in it. You're done. You're not touching that cake. So you have to see the poison in pornography. That might be a good title, The Poison of Pornography. But you have to see that if you're married, it is hurting your marriage. It might not this week or this month, but what you're doing, you're lusting after women other than your wife. You're having sex with them in your mind, and you're going to drift from your wife. It's no different than having a physical affair. The only difference is, the ramifications. The ramifications to your body are the same. How it destroys the marriage are the same. Ask any woman who's ever caught her husband on pornography addiction. It hurts them almost as much as catching them with a physical person. Granted, a physical affair is going to have the circumstances and consequences are going to be a little bit different, but it destroys your marriage. It destroys your walk with the Lord. You have to get to that computer. You have to look, it's like a drug. It works in the same way as a drug would in your mind. And also things stimulate it. If you're not walking with God, and let's say you're an alcoholic or you're using marijuana or you're just living that lifestyle of the world, working towards the things of the world, loving the world, the pull of pornography is going to be a lot stronger. So I tell people, number one, you have to see the death in it. You have to go to the Word. You have to take it to God and you say, this is wrong. This is pathetic. Can you imagine? These girls used to be little girls many years ago. So that 20-year-old you're looking at used to be a 4-year-old girl riding her bike. And that should really break your heart and change your heart. And it's hard. You got to pray for yourself, pray for these people. And you repent. What is repentance? Repentance isn't sorrow. Repentance is you're changing your mind. This is wrong. And now it doesn't mean you might not ever see anything again. But it will mean that you're on the right course, you're repenting. And then of course, what are the triggers? I'll just be transparent here. If I have a trigger and something comes up, hi, my name is whoever, here's my photos. Well, I'm hitting the delete button. I haven't opened one of those in years. I'm not falling for that trick again. So you just delete. Or if you're feeling like, intimacy with your spouse and she's not home and I'll just go on a computer. No, you know, that's a trigger. Don't even go on the computer. Go take a walk because out of sight, out of mind, you're fleeing sexual morality. You can't sit there and ponder it, contemplate it, fight it. You have to flee it. And the temptation subsides. It leaves within a few minutes once you decide to flee and resist. We also, as I've talked about before, we have accountability software on our computer. So any questionable searches, searches or websites that I visit will go to my wife, will go to her email so she can, you know, if there's, it'll say, I don't know what it says. If you look at something, maybe this was flagged or you need to look at this or whatever. And she can see if there's anything questionable. And we have it on our devices for our kids. Granted, that's not foolproof. You know, you could dismantle it maybe or find a device somewhere else. Or that's what I mean by the heart has to be right. So once the heart is right, repentance is taking place, and bring it to the light. I would bring it to the light. Like, for example, I would, you know, me and my wife have good dialogue as far as she knows men are visual. So I don't need to be looking at Victoria's Secret ads and catalogs and, you know, and hey, if I'm struggling this week, let's talk, let's pray. Okay. You know, and you bring it to the light. But a lot of people like to keep this in darkness. You know, they want to act like they're Leave It to Beaver's dad, and they don't do anything wrong. Their thoughts don't go anywhere. So bring it to the light, say, I'm struggling this week, or you bring it to a person. That's why the word accountability partner has become popular. And that in and of itself is really not something that's going to help you greatly if that's all you're relying on, because you'll just, hey man, I blew it this week. Hey man, you know, you can't have, someone else can't hold you accountable, but they can pray with you. They can text you and say, hey, I'm praying with you. How are you doing this week? Or, and you can go to them. What you're doing is you're exposing the sin. You're exposing the desire before it comes to fruition. You're cutting it off. You're aborting it. So those kind of things. You repent. You bring it to the light. You put accountability software. You avoid triggers. A lot of people are watching things throughout the week that they shouldn't be watching. Programs on Netflix or YouTube videos. And then that stimuli leads to a deeper stimuli, leads to a deeper, and then eventually leads them into pornography. Pornography, usually person doesn't just go right onto a porn site. I could be mistaken, but usually it's a progression of what they saw. Maybe they saw somebody at the gym and maybe they watched a program they shouldn't have. And then they start to feed this desire instead of flee it. And it's an never ending cycle. So the big thing is, and I've had Christians, well, at least they said they are Christians, that they watch pornography with their spouse. And I'm like, guys, that does not work. Mm-hmm. You know, that you just use your mind here, use your brain here. So we have to see the sin in it. We have to see the death in it. And take it seriously because people look, oh, what's a big deal? It's not harming me. Well, it's pulling you away. And I truly believe this is why many marriages are distant, why husbands and spouses are growing apart. And like, well, what's happening? We don't love each other anymore because pornography has gotten in. You have to remember, it's a spirit as well. The sexual morality is a spirit. It's idolatry. So to work against your family, to work against your marriage, the devil can plant thoughts into your mind and just really pull you guys apart. You're not filled with the Spirit of God. I'll tell you that right now. A person's continue looking at pornography. They're not going to be filled with God's Spirit. They're not going to be filled with love and joy and peace and goodness and self-control. You know, so it just all flows together. No, we don't have a lot of time on this one, but, you know, and your thoughts as a single are probably along the same lines.
Yeah,
but different, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I know one thing that's helped me is a single person, and you alluded to it a little bit earlier, you know, the stereotype, you know, we laugh, but the sad reality is this is true for a lot of people. The stereotype of a porn user, a porn consumer is, you know, staying up late at night when it's dark and everybody else is asleep and just on the computer, like by themselves, yeah. Like in the thing. But there's a reason that stereotype exists, because like you said, sin hates the light. And I think as a Christian, and I'm speaking to fellow Christians that might be struggling with this, the big question I think you have to ask yourself is, could I do this knowing that I am in the presence of God?
Oh, wow.
And I think if you really challenge yourself to have a high view of God, and challenge yourself with what you profess about him. You know, are you acting in such a manner that is consistent with your profession of faith about who God is? So if you're a Christian struggling with pornography and you have this atheist buddy that you've been witnessing to for a while, and you've told him about how God is loving and kind and merciful and powerful, and he's creator of heaven and earth and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Are you really willing to sit in your chair at midnight on the computer by yourself, knowing that you are in the presence of God while you're doing this
stuff?
That's
true.
How does he feel about that? You know, and if you really love God, I think that can be a point of orientation where you challenge yourself to say, wait a minute, how is this? Because as Christians, the thing that the world is all about themselves, but as Christians, the thing that we remember is that it's never about us. It's always about God.
Right.
And so in those things, are you glorifying God in what you're doing? And with pornography, and even with the other thing that I would say too, as a single guy who's involved in youth ministries and things like that, who tries to speak in the lives of teenagers and other young people, when we say pornography, it goes beyond the bounds of just like hardcore porn sites and things like that. The Victoria's Secret catalog that you mentioned, your Sports Illustrateds or your this or your that. Are you comfortable sitting there entertaining lustful thoughts in your mind when you look at these girls that may have a few articles of clothing on them?
Right.
Knowing that you are professing to be a witness of the risen Christ when you do this stuff, you know? So if that's you, and you hear that and you're convicted, I think one thing that you can start doing immediately is you can identify the pattern of behavior that leads you into pornography use. Because like you said, there are triggers along the way, there are steps that you take to get to that point. You may not know what those are yet. And so if the temptation comes up, you can start to identify what the things that are coming up are.
Exactly.
And what you can do, a trick that as a former personal trainer, same idea, just applying it to a different set of scenarios, I would tell people to track the meals that you ate, write your food down, write your workouts down and stuff. But the other thing too with this is you can write down, okay, I'm feeling this, I did this, and I'm doing it. And what this does is it gets your thoughts and your experiences out on a piece of paper where you can look at it objectively. And then you can start to see patterns of behavior that trigger these thoughts and things like
that. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'll go on.
Well, I was going to say you can take, if you have that, now you are armed with information that you can put into use practically.
Use wisdom.
Yeah. And you can avoid scenarios, you can avoid situations, and you can identify, you can say, well, just because I did this doesn't mean I have to do this.
Right.
You know, and you can start breaking behavior patterns and that, because it is an addiction.
I've known people, people might think this is too extreme, but I don't think it is for pornography. They actually won't, they just cancel their gym membership, or they won't go at certain times. You know, you got spandex, you know, right there in front of you, and Barbie, you know, with plastic surgery. And I mean, you're just going to be fueling that. I know other people who avoid the beach, a busy beach, Santa Monica Beach, say, and you know, you got G-strings everywhere. I mean, what price are you willing to pay? I remember a woman telling me about avoiding the romance novels of Barnes & Noble. Doesn't even go there anymore because it would trigger pornography. So there are triggers. Something's triggering it. And as a parent, if you're listening as a parent, I would do whatever you can. Your kids don't need phones at 14. I mean, I don't even know what the age is. I know we'll go as long as we can, but there's watches out there. They can wear a watch and they can make calls to you, but they can't go online. You've got to protect your kids. We sometimes even turn off the Wi-Fi after 8 o'clock at night and just turn off the Wi-Fi to your house. There's no access to anything. You know, you got to be vigilant because your enemy is coming after your kids, and your kids aren't smart enough right now. And of course, just sheltering them isn't the right answer. Explaining to them, walking it through them, praying with them. But I think we can take precautions. I think we can put up a fight and come against this. But you have to realize it's wrong. It's not just wrong. It really destroys your marriage and your family life, your walk with the Lord. You have no joy. You have no peace. It's like an addiction. You're addicted to pornography. And the website I mentioned is Covenant Eyes. I think it's covenanteyes.com. It's about $12 a month. But again, it's not, you're not going to put that on. It's going to, if your heart's not right, these are all just little safeguards. You know, they're not the, for example, the computer here at the office that's right there next to you. There's no, you know, we don't have Covenant Eyes on it, but there's never, I don't know of any pornography whatsoever since that's been there in 3 years has popped up. any screen, anything, nothing on there. So, you know, it's not you don't have to have it, but it's good for precaution, especially at home when others are using your computer, your phone. So anyway, I just want to encourage men or even women that we all struggle. If you don't think, you know, that that struggle comes into pastors or Christian leaders' lives, you know, you're absolutely wrong. We all struggle with the same thing. No temptation has overtaken us, but it's common to all men. But how we handle that battle as Christians is a lot different than how the world handles it. As a mature believer, you know, you have to say, this is wrong. I need to repent of this. Maybe some of you need to just tell, go to your wife, say, hey, listen, I've been seeing pornography now and then. I need you to pray for me. I need to bring it to the light. And yeah, you might be sleeping in the hotel tonight. But you know, you brought it to light, you're going to work through it. There are consequences, with, you know, that I used to say, just go tell your spouse, but now, you know, there's some spouses that maybe you might want to go to a godly man first and work through it. So use wisdom, but I would say expose it somehow. You know, one thing for me is with the elders here at this church, they can go, you know, ask my wife, anytime, you know, right tonight at our Wednesday night service or Sunday, you know, hey, how's everything going? How's the marriage? How's Shane doing? And she's not going to lie. I mean, you know, and it's just an open book. You got to be transparent. You can't, that's the thing. Even in my life, if I let sin creep in. So if something has crept into my life, you know, it has in the past, not pornography per se, but say, alcohol or something is kind of creeps back in your life. You bring it to say, hey, would you pray for me? This is trying to get back in. I'm having desires for this and I don't want to go that direction anymore. And you have people pray with you, you expose it. So people, I think they feel ashamed. Oh, I'm feeling this. What's going on? Even same-sex attraction. I tell young adults, hey, if you're having same-sex attraction, you're 12, let's pray with you. You know, it's hormones and it might be what you struggle with, not what I struggle with, but you know, bring it to this. Just let people know. You don't have to suppress it. But of course, make sure you tell the right person. But you can pray through these things and bring it to the light. So I think we got to actually go into our service now.
Yeah, we're getting ready to wrap up. We're getting ready to wrap up and start a midweek service. A pro tip that I will leave the listeners with, I know that helps for me, put a reference to Jesus somewhere around your computer.
Oh, yeah.
Put a picture of him or put a cross or something. If you love the Lord like you say you do, yeah, and you struggle with pornography, put a cross right next to your computer screen and you just look at that right before any temptation comes up and see if the Holy Spirit doesn't do something with
good
that.
Good idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening to this episode of Idleman Unplugged. If you enjoyed this topic, send us another one. You can send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com that we can use on a future episode of Idleman Unplugged. My name is Luke Duncan and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Idleman. Thank you for listening to this episode of Idleman Unplugged.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com. El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality and Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.